I thank all of you for being here. I thank all of you for coming for our Chandler Church and being a part of our Blind Guide Leadership Lessons for Those Who Lack Vision sermon series. For those of you who are aware, this is the distillation of the second chapter of my doctorate program and project, my theological reflection, which I have found is causing a great deal of change in my life. And these are not my words, these are the words of Jesus. Amen? You know you're in a bad church when that church does not like the teachings of Jesus. Amen? So today, and throughout the course of these next several weeks, we're going to study what Jesus said about leadership, and we're going to discover these are not only leadership lessons, but these are life-changing, life-altering lessons that will refine our character. Do you believe that today? As we studied last week, in brief review, we discovered that there are a lot of works on leadership. But many Christian authors are delving into the realm of leadership, and especially authors in our own denomination. Many authors in our denomination are pooling together now to form a biblical theology of leadership to say exactly what the Bible believes leadership teaches and what is taught in regards to leadership in the Bible. But there are many scholars today who believe or suggest that there are no direct teachings of Jesus Christ or the apostles in the Bible in regards to leadership. And when they teach about leadership, they teach leadership from the perspective of the great leaders in the Bible and their lives. However, we discovered as a Chandler church last week, exegetically and from the text, that there is in fact a direct teaching of Jesus Christ in the realm and the area of leadership. We find that in chapter 6, verse 39 in our Bibles, and we go there as we begin our message today. Luke chapter 6 and verse 39, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Luke chapter 6, verse 39, and when you're all there in your Bibles, please say amen. Luke chapter 6, verse 39, this is our discovery here in the Chandler Church of the leadership teaching that Jesus Christ has given not only to his apostles and disciples, but to all those who would listen throughout the ages. Luke chapter 6, verse 39, let's read it together. The Bible says, and he spoke a what? A parable to them. And Jesus said, can the blind do what? Lead the blind. Will they not both fall into the ditch? Those are the words of Jesus, not the words of Pastor Shane. And if you believe that, please say amen. Now, we took special note in this verse of Scripture because we discovered last week in Luke chapter 6, verse 39, that Luke, in the Sermon on the Plain, which is not the Sermon on the Mount, Luke discovered that this was, in fact, a parable. What we see here in Luke chapter 6 before this verse are the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are the most important, most crucial teachings of Jesus Christ conveyed to the world. And as Jesus Christ gave the Beatitudes in Luke chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Plain, there in Luke 6, 39, amongst all those crucial, critical teachings of Jesus Christ, Luke designates this one as a parable, meaning it is of special, special importance. Can you say amen today? It's very significant to note as well that we see the parallel of this verse in Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. So in Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, we note that that is not the Sermon on the Mount. We noted last week that the Sermon on the Mount occurs in Matthew chapter 5. And because it is used in Matthew chapter 15 and not Matthew chapter 5, we see that it's being used in a different occasion there, and that's why many scholars have not looked at this as a verse which teaches leadership. So in looking at that, we came to this conclusion, and we understood this as a Chandler church. By Luke's presenting of the only other instance of this passage in Scripture, aside from Matthew's account as a parable, Luke is expressing to all of us that this phrase is far more than a slight, far more than a rebuke, far more than a reprimand. It is a what, everyone? It's a teaching of Jesus Christ, which was meant to be both conveyed and adhered to. If you saw that last week, please say amen. So clearly, Jesus taught leadership, and he wanted this parable to be expounded upon and to grow throughout time. We understand from this parable last week these three principles. Number one, we discovered that Jesus asserted that figurative or symbolic vision, figurative or symbolic awareness, figurative or symbolic self-reflection are essential to effective leadership. Can you say amen? Jesus himself also taught us last week that figurative blindness disqualifies its possessor from the ability to provide the most effective forms of guidance. You can be spiritually blind and still lead, as did the Pharisees and the Sadducees, but Jesus said you're going to lead people into a ditch, right? And consequently, what we see, the third point that we brought out from this parable, is that Jesus himself, not Pastor Shane, asserted that all those who attempt to lead or guide others while possessing poor figurative vision, poor figurative or symbolic awareness, poor figurative and symbolic self-reflection will adversely affect the lives of others. And so that we could enhance our awareness, our self-reflection, so we could enhance our vision. Last week, we gave visionary self-reflection cards that forced us to look at ourselves in light of these teachings of Jesus. And I pray that some of you did that. By a show of hands, how many reflected this past week in their personal devotion? God bless you, folks. Keep journeying with Jesus that he might bless your life and your leadership. And because some of us don't ever want to adversely affect the lives of others, we say, well, you know what? I just won't lead. But here's the problem that we encountered. Every one of us is a leader. Amen? Amen? Help me out, somebody. Whether you are a pastor, whether you are a police officer, whether you're an elder, whether you're a governor, whether you're a Sabbath school teacher, whether you are a single mother, whether you are a young adult who has no accountability to anyone else, at bare minimum, you are the CEO of your own company. And you are guiding yourself either to success or you are guiding yourself either to destruction. Amen. So all of us are leaders, and every single one of us leads someone or something. Amen. Therefore, these teachings are relevant and applicable to our lives today and important for us to inculcate into our Christian practice. What we discovered in finality last week was not only was there a direct teaching of Jesus Christ in the area of leadership, but developmental trace elements of that teaching. And corresponding object lessons could be found and distilled from other biblical narratives. We discovered that scriptural interactions and later educational leadership echoes can also be found in the epistles of Jesus Christ's apostles. Last week we studied the issue of the man who was born blind and Jesus' healing of him. And we saw that in John chapter 9, John did not just record that for some vain, ambiguous purpose. John recorded that for the specific purpose of contrasting that blind man's blindness with the spiritual blindness of the Pharisees. We saw that after the man born blind was healed by Jesus, he grew in faith and belief of Jesus as his heart was humbled. However, the Pharisees became more and more blind as they became more and more prideful in resisting the truth that Jesus was in fact the Messiah. If you saw that last week, please say amen. And we distilled last week from that narrative the principle of humility, the principle that one cannot lead unless they can be led. Amen. And God has been working in our hearts all this week and hopefully for the rest of our journey as Christians to make us humble and usable and teachable throughout our journey of faith. Today we delve into another narrative. Today we delve into the next story where it was recorded by one of Jesus Christ's apostles, Jesus' expansion of the blind guide parabolic paradigm. Today we turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. And in Matthew chapter 23, we again find our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today teaching leadership lessons to those who lack vision. Matthew chapter 23 today is where we're going. And in Matthew chapter 23, we're going to explore the seven woes pronounced by Jesus Christ to the scribes and the Pharisees. Matthew chapter 23 in our Bibles today. And if you're there, please say amen. Matthew chapter 23, We'll begin now in verse 13. What verse did I say, everyone? Verse 13. If your Bible's like my Bible, these words are in red, meaning these are the teachings of Jesus Christ and not Pastor Shane. Jesus Christ here in Matthew chapter 23 is in a confrontation. He is confronting the scribes, confronting the Pharisees, confronting the religious leaders of his day. And as Jesus Christ confronts them in regards to their leadership, he pronounces upon them seven woes. Matthew chapter 23, verse 13, Jesus now, our Savior and our Lord, is speaking. Jesus says in verse 13, "Woe to you, scribes, you Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you shut up or you close the kingdom of heaven against men, even though you neither yourselves are going in, nor do you allow those who are entering to go." Verse 14, Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes and you Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and you make for a pretense long prayers. Therefore, you will receive a greater condemnation." Verse 15, Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes, you Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you travel on land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." Verse 16, now Jesus is getting animated. Now Jesus is getting worked up. Now Jesus is getting fired up, and he goes back to the heart of his leadership lesson. Verse 16, Matthew chapter 23, Jesus says, "Woe to you who? Blind guides." Watch it now. Jesus says, "Woe to you blind guides who say, whoever swears by the temple, that is nothing. But whoever swears by the gold of the temple, oh, you are obligated. You fools," and what? What does Jesus say? Blind men. Which, Jesus say, is what? What does Jesus say? More important, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold. Jesus here continues to speak. "You also say, whoever swears by the altar, that is nothing. But whoever swears by the offering, the lamb that you paid a lot of money for to bring, whoever swears by the offering on it, he is obligated." Are you following Jesus? Jesus goes on to say, "You what?" That's number three. Jesus says, "You blind men," which is what? What does he say? More important, the offering or the altar that sanctifies the offering which you brought. Jesus, friends, is teaching for us today leadership. And as Jesus teaches leadership, he's teaching it at the center of the ancient Israelite religious economy, which is the temple and the sanctuary service. The sanctuary is pretty important for us as Seventh-day Adventists, is it not? It was pretty important for ancient Israel as well. You see, at the sanctuary, the religious rituals that were enacted at this edifice, they were object lessons. They were ceremonial rituals intended to demonstrate not only the grace of God, but God's system of governance. But they also demonstrated the service of ministry from God towards man and man towards God. You see, at the heart of the Old Testament sanctuary service, it was a center of worship. Can you say amen? And at the center of that worship was ministry, and at the center of that ministry that took place in the sanctuary was service. Service and sacrifice from God to man, service and sacrifice from man to God. However, during the days of Jesus Christ's life and his ministry there at the temple, Scripture alludes to the premise that the character of the individuals that God had called to be guides in Israel, that character was devolving. And unfortunately, that which God intended for service became to them a symbol of secular nationalism and affluence. You see, in the Jewish religious economy, it could be suggested that the gold of the temple was only holy because it was in the temple. Amen? It was in the temple where God was worshipped. However, what we see Jesus saying, what we see Jesus doing, as we see Jesus interacting with these scribes and the Pharisees, we see that the lavish religious imagery and iconography, which was intended to turn their minds toward heavenly things, now became themselves objects of veneration and worship, not because of their spiritual or sentimental value, but because of their monetary worth. Are you following me? For that reason, in the context of Jesus Christ's reprimand and his woe to these scribes, his woe to these Pharisees, it suggests that those leaders' words, their talks about oaths, betrayed their thoughts, their hearts, their true motives, and their deeper values towards personal gain, individual acquisition, and greed. The value of that which was sacred became substituted for that which was secular, and it made the worth of their oath in the eyes of Jesus Christ profane. Jesus himself, on another occasion in the temple, as you know, condemned them for this secularism and this commerciality that they brought to their religion, because they began to value the money that they could make from the temple more than the principles that the temple stood for. And thus it was that this poor self and situational awareness caused Jesus not only to make a cord of whip and drive them out of his Father's house of prayer, which they had made into a den of thieves, but it caused Jesus to expand now upon the blind guide parabolic paradigm and designate those leaders as blind guides or blind men 3 times within our passage of reflection and 5 times total in Matthew chapter 23's 7 woes. And as we look today at Jesus' teaching to the scribes, Jesus' teaching to the Pharisees, Jesus' condemnation of their leadership in his confrontation with them, we see today our next principle in the blind guide parabolic paradigm. Today, as we look at Matthew chapter 23, today we discover the first level of leadership, which is what, everyone? Priority. You think priority is pretty important for us as leaders and as Christians? Apparently it was for Jesus Christ. And I know some of you are thinking right now, well, wait a second, Pastor Shane. Last week, the first lesson of leadership was humility. Yes, it was. The first lesson was humility, but today the first level is priority. And today, as we study leadership from the words of Jesus Christ, not Pastor Shane, we understand these principles. Priority's leadership principle is this, and don't you forget it. Good leaders pay attention to detail. Bad leaders make them paramount. Can you say amen? Amen. Good leaders pay attention to details. Bad leaders make those details paramount or most important. Are you following me? You see, Jesus, again in Matthew chapter 23, went on to expound upon this to the Pharisees, not only to the Pharisees, but his disciples, his apostles, and all of us who would hear this throughout the ages. Jesus went on to say in verse 23 as he continues, "Woe to you scribes, woe to you Pharisees, woe for you hypocrites, for you tithe in mint and dill and cumin." These were the spices that were in their garden. This is how precise, how meticulous their religion was. Jesus said, you tithe mint and dill and cumin, the spices from your garden. However, you have neglected the what type of matters, everyone? The weightier matters of the law, which are justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done without doing what? Neglecting the others. Let me ask you today, Chandler Church, did Jesus Christ in the New Testament do away with tithing, yes or no? No, he did not. He said, for you to tithe from your garden, for you to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, that's okay. You should not have neglected that. But Jesus said, there are some things that are more important. Amen? Jesus, not Pastor Shane, said there are some things that are greater in the scale of value that God looks at. Are you following with me today? So again now, in verse 24, read it with me. Jesus says to them, you what? Notice this, Chandler Church. When Jesus teaches leadership, he doesn't say you're a bad leader. He says you're a what? You're a blind guide. Over and over and over again, we see this theme coming out from Jesus. Jesus says they're blind guides because they strain out a gnat and they swallow a camel. Jesus says that they make things that are not as important more important than they should be. Are you following me? Jesus teaches the first level of leadership, which is priority, and priority's principle that good leaders pay attention to the details, but bad leaders make them paramount. Are you following me today? Jesus goes on in verse 25 and he says, woe to you scribes, woe to you Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of extortion and rapacity. But here again now in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 26, what does it say? Matthew chapter 23 and verse 26, read it from me, to me from your Bibles. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 26, what did Jesus call them again? You what? Blind guide. You blind Pharisee. You don't know what you're like. You don't realize what you're doing. You're unaware of how you are and how you're affecting others. Jesus said, I want you to first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside may also be clean. Let me ask you here again today, Chandler Church. Did Jesus do away with cleaning the outside of the cup? Yes or no? No, but Jesus, on a scale of values, on a scale of priorities, says some things are more important. In some instances, first things must come first. Are you with me, everybody? Jesus gives to us today the first level of leadership, which is what? Priority and the principle that good leaders pay attention to details, but bad leaders make them paramount. If you're with me today, please say amen. You see, as we look at the way Jesus taught and Jesus' teaching on leadership from the blind guide parabolic paradigm, Jesus said that bad leaders are blind men who will lead others astray, and if they lead others, they will both fall into the pit. The question is, does Jesus' confrontation, does Jesus' interaction with the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites of his day follow suit with the blind guide paradigm that at the end they both go into the pit? Sure enough, at the end of Matthew chapter 23, at the end of this confrontation, as Jesus gets more and more animated, as Jesus in love lets them have it, he concludes by saying, you serpents, you generation of vipers, how long will you flee from what? The judgment of hell. Now, we might think for a moment that being a blind guide or a bad leader or adversely affecting the lives of others isn't something that's life or death. But according to Jesus, number one, it's life or death. Amen? And according to Jesus, being a blind guide does not only make you a blind guide, but if you are a blind guide for a prolonged period of time, going deeper and deeper into that darkness, deeper and deeper into that spiritual unawareness where you're affecting other people, Jesus says that I become a serpent, I become a viper, which is a son or daughter of Satan. Are you following me? It was Satan's blindness originally in heaven to the character of Christ and God's goodness that confused and deceived one-third of the angels. And let me ask you, did one-third of the angels fall into a pit? Yes, they did. This is life-altering stuff. Are you following me, folks? This is stuff we read over and glance over in our Bible and don't think it applies to us. But friends, this is the heart of Jesus Christ's teaching for his disciples and his apostles. And if you want to be an apostle, a disciple, a follower, a daughter, or a son of Jesus, it behooves all of us to take note to what Jesus is saying. Amen? And Jesus says to us today that the first level of leadership is what, everyone? It is priority. And priority's principle is that good leaders pay attention to the details. Bad leaders make them paramount. Bad leaders, according to Jesus Christ, friends, they major in the minors. Huh? They make mountains out of molehills. Huh? They cause more problems than they cure. Huh? Because they don't have common sense when it comes to completing the mission of their organization. And completing the mission of our organization as a church is leading people to Jesus. Amen? You remember when Jesus would go to parties and Jesus would hang out with people? And the scribes and the Pharisees would see Jesus hanging out with tax collectors and prostitutes. And they'd say, this man is not a prophet. This man is not the Son of God. And Jesus said, wait. Wisdom is justified by her children. Meaning, when you see all these tax collectors and prostitutes that I'm hanging out with and kicking it with and befriending and making relationships with in the kingdom, that you rejected because of your religiosity, you're going to realize who was wise and who was foolish. Good leaders pay attention to the details. Bad leaders make them paramount. Amen? You know, we kind of do the same thing here in our church in our modern day. And we make this mistake of teaching perfectionism instead of the perfection that we have in Christ Jesus, huh? See, Jesus warned us about this in Matthew chapter 23, verse 2 and 3. Jesus said to the crowds, Jesus said to the disciples, he called them up in front of everybody. He said, the teachers of the religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. This is what Jesus said. They stand in Moses' seat. They follow Moses' tradition. They have authority in the church. So Jesus said, be obedient and practice whatever they tell you. But then Jesus said, in front of everybody, do not follow their example because they don't practice what they preach. You know, when Jesus calls you out like that in front of everybody, that's embarrassing, huh? See, what they preached was sinless perfectionism, not the perfection that Jesus Christ offered. When Jesus said, I am the door. No man enters into the gate but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is a broad way that leads to destruction and a narrow way, and only a few enter it. And friends of mine, that narrow way is the atoning merits of Jesus Christ. The broad way is works-based religion. You following me? Jesus said that they can't accurately prioritize in the scope of God's message and mission to the world what's most important. And for us, I would submit, it's Jesus. Only one amen. For us, what's most important is Jesus. Amen. Narrow is the way. You know, we have made other things important in our church, and those Pharisees made other things important. Those Pharisees, according to Jesus, would bind up heavy loads. They would put them on the shoulders of men, but they themselves were not willing to budge them with their finger. The religious construction of their theology and what they taught to Israel in regards to what was important, they themselves could not bear it. Do you know that to this day, some Orthodox Jews have literally thousands of religious obligations on the books in regards to Sabbath? Some are not allowed to push buttons in elevators. You know that? So they have Gentiles that do that for them. Do you know how crazy we can be as religious people? Jesus said they could not even move them with their finger. And because in that time, in that day, in Jesus' day and life, those with the responsibility of teaching people God's law were harsh, demanding, and hypocritical. hypocritical, meaning they themselves could not live up to what they themselves were teaching. That's why, as Paul said, I preach Christ and Christ crucified, nothing else. Amen? Amen. Sometimes people say, well, pastor, you're the pastor and you should be, don't put that on me. I'm going to make it the same way you are. I'm a mess like you are. I may have a different set of gifts that God has given me, but if I make it, it's by the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. And that's what I teach. That's what I preach. There's a brother that some of you know of. Some of you still have bootleg DVDs in your library. He's telling people that they were going to hell for eating cheese. And then they caught that brother at Pizza Hut after his seminar. Literally. 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 Good leaders pay attention to details. Bad leaders make them paramount. They're not the most important thing. You follow me? See, sometimes we today as Seventh-day Adventists, we do that very, very same thing. You know, not too long ago, Auntie Ellen, who is absolutely amazing to us, who we love, who we read her writings for guidance and inspiration and counsel, she spoke to the church of her day about the length of women's skirts. Because in her day, the lengths of women's skirts could affect their health. You see, in their day, they did not have sewage systems. So they would take urine and feces from their home in the 1800s and they would throw it out in the street. So Ellen White would say to the people of her day, your skirts should be a certain length because, and this wasn't in the text, if they're too long, they brush along the bottom of the ground and they'll take up dirt and refuse and bring bacteria into your home and you'll get sick. Auntie Ellen was absolutely right. But some well-intended, sincere brethren in our church, not understanding that the principle was sanitary and not modesty, not delving deep into the context and the background of her writing, believe that Ellen White was talking about the principle of modesty. And some of you know this. Some of you are aware that across Seventh-day Adventist churches in North America, there was a movement of elders who would greet women at the door of the church. And as they came to the door of the church, they would measure the length of their skirts from the ground. Lord, have mercy to a man that would measure the length of my wife's skirt as she walked through the door. Let me ask you this today, Chandler Church, honestly. Do you think that one person in the history of the world was led to Jesus Christ by the measuring of her skirt at the door? Let me ask you this. Do you think that more than a few were led astray about who Jesus is, what Jesus is like, and what our mission here is in the world? You see, I think if we would be measuring anything here today as a church, as a denomination, as a people of God, I think that we should do what John did in Revelation chapter 21. And we should measure the holy city. When the angel told John in Revelation chapter 21 to measure the holy city, I believe this. I believe John discovered that the holy city was a little bit bigger than he first understood. And that God's grace is enough to get a whole lot of folk inside. And friends of mine, we need to have that perspective. The perspective that Albie sung this morning, Jesus. He's mighty to save. Mightier than our denomination, mightier than our name, mightier than our doctrines, mightier than our standards. And no, I'm not diminishing the standards. No, I'm not lowering them. No, I'm not putting them to the side. I'm saying that good leaders pay attention to details, but bad leaders make them what? Paramount. You know, we still deal with this to this moment in our church. And several weeks ago, You heard me speak about this issue in our church, supposedly, of transcendental meditation, spiritual formation, and reflective prayer. You heard about this, right? At the end of that sermon several weeks ago, a dear friend of mine, and I consider this person a dear friend, salt of the earth, who I love, dear friend, asked me, just for clarification, Pastor Shane, I just need to understand, were you saying that spiritual formation or contemplative prayer is a good thing? And I said to that friend, no, not necessarily. What I'm saying is that it's not an epidemic in our church. Look around you for a moment. And honestly, looking around you, reflecting, how many people in our church that you know of pray to Buddha or like Buddha? Huh? How many? Do a double take now. And as you look around us in our church, how many 18 to 31-year-olds are missing? How many of our children are being led away by a satanic Pied Piper from the truth of God? And if you can't look and tell me the truth, I can show you the statistics. Am I saying that spiritual formation, contemplative prayer, is something that's okay? No. I'm saying it's not an epidemic in our church. But losing our children is. Do you follow me? And every one of those leaders who are godly men, salt of the earth, who I love, who I'll follow through the gates of hell. They're making YouTube videos and reaching out to a world church based upon the information that we are giving to them at the local level. So you, as leaders and guides, have to guide them as to the priorities and values of what's important. You follow me? And what's important is not praying with our legs folded. What's important is having our children in the kingdom. Amen? That's what Alicia showed us today. Alicia, bringing her beautiful baby Aurelia to be dedicated to God, showed us that her priority is her daughter. And while we're contemplating over different forms or styles of prayer, our children are away from us elsewhere. Does anyone hear what I'm saying today? All those leaders who I love, who I follow, who I believe in, who I support, you tell them what's happening here. We're not praying to Buddha. Someone may have done that in a class somewhere off-where and it fell to the wayside. But even in our universities, our children are not going to church. Do you follow me? That's the crisis we're facing. And Jesus says for that reason, the first level of leadership is what? Priority. Priority. And priority's leadership lesson is this. Good leaders pay attention to the details. Bad leaders make them paramount. Are you following me today, beloved? You see, we don't have to worry about people praying with their feet crossed or contemplating God, because some of them, believe it or not, who aren't even from our persuasion, are going to make it to heaven. Do you know that? Jesus said the same in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. Jesus told the Pharisees, and they hated this. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Many are going to come from east and west who have never heard the oracles of truth of Israel, who've never heard the name of Jesus. They will recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown out into outer darkness, and in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why? Because the pagans could accurately prioritize more correctly the love of God than God's church. It's the teachings of Jesus to the leaders of his day. You follow me? Not popular, but it's pertinent. Jesus, friends, taught this to his closest friends and his closest disciples. You recall this in Luke chapter 10, verse 41 and 42. When Jesus came to Mary and Martha's home to hang out, spend time with them, a place where Ellen White says he just loved to be. And as Jesus was hanging out with Mary and Martha, Martha was getting so upset because the house wasn't clean, the dishes weren't done, the food wasn't properly cooked, things were not in order. And Jesus, The God, the orderly God of all creation. The one who governs the sun, the moon, the stars, and the length that the shores come upon the land. Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and you're troubled about so many things. But according to Jesus, how many things? How many things? One thing is necessary. How many things is essential? How many according to Jesus? One is essential. How many according to Jesus is crucial? How many? One thing is crucial. And Jesus says, Mary has chosen that good part. And because she chose it, she will not let it go. It will not be taken from her. And she will not push it down on her list of priorities. For Mary, it was to sit at the feet, listen to the words, and experience the love of Jesus Christ. The dishes can wait. The dishes can wait. And so Jesus speaks to us today as we close. As apostles, as disciples, as daughters and sons of God, as guides to the blind in this world, Jesus teaches us today that the first level of leadership is what, everyone? It is priority. And the leadership lesson we learn from priority is that good leaders pay attention to the details. Bad leaders do what? Make them most important. Today, friends, as now our deacons and deaconesses are passing out your visionary self-reflection card, the opportunity that we have to interact with God, and that God has to take the scales from off our eyes to show us how we are, how we relate to other people, and how we affect them. As those cards are being passed out quickly, I want you to take a look at this week's leadership lesson and this week's lessons for reflection. For those of you who are part of the focus group, who are getting the special laminated cards with ring binders, please just gently raise your hand at this moment. And if you're part of the focus group, Miss Karen will give you one of the special cards. For all the rest of you, they're being passed out right now. And as those cards are coming around, friends, I want to make an appeal to you as a family of faith who acknowledges these are the teachings of Jesus Christ. Let's let Jesus Christ speak to us throughout the course of this week. Let's let Jesus Christ mold us, transform us, and shape us into His image. Let's let Jesus Christ do something in our hearts that we might become more like Jesus and less like the Pharisees, the scribes, and the hypocrites. Amen? Take this card, and throughout the course of this week, I want you to do your self-reflection. And our verse for self-reflection is Matthew chapter 23, verse 16 through 19. And in that verse, Jesus asks us three times which is most important. Three times Jesus challenges us as blind guides for not accurately prioritizing. This week we're going to reflect and remember that the first level of leadership is what, everyone? It is priority. And the lesson we learn from leadership is that good leaders pay attention to details. Bad leaders make them what? Paramount. Here's our three crucial questions this week. Number one. Lord, help me to see what I have misprioritized in my life. Amen? And every one of us in our life, in our spiritual journey, we are at different places. It's not going to be the same for each and every one of us. But every one of us, including Pastor Shane, has misprioritized some things. Amen? And today Jesus asks us, blind guide, blind Shane, which is more important? For us to get to that next level of reflection and awareness, we have to reflect upon what is most important to us. Number one, Lord, help me to see what I have misprioritized in my life. Number two is this. Lord, help me to see what you value most. Amen? God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Amen? And for as long as God's presence was apart from Israel, As long as the Shekinah was not with them and Jesus was not on earth, we see how their religion had devolved into something loathsome and burdensome, and God hated their religion. We have to ask God to help us to see people, to see our faith, and to see the world as He does. Amen? Number two is this week. Lord Jesus, help me to see what You value most. Amen? Number three is this. Number three, Lord, help me to see how You are leading me to put certain things back in their proper order. Amen? Some of the things that we have misprioritized, friends, we can't put back without God's help. Sometimes we try to put it back in place, and it's like a little child trying to put something back on the top shelf. We're going to break it even worse. Amen? We need wisdom, understanding, and discernment as to how to put it back in the right order. And we're going to ask for God's guidance for that this week. Lord, help me to see what I have misprioritized. Lord, help me to see what You value most. And last but not least, Lord, help me to see how You are leading me to put certain things back in their proper order.